Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers lose by 12 in Portland, and it wasn't that close. I think the Blazers just hit another three, Andy. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how or where you get your podcasts, it's always free. It's never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to vent over Monday night's really ugly loss to Portland. What was the final, Andy? 127-115?
That is the final.
All right. I say this because my computer screen died. Right after the game, I'm doing radio tonight, and it died in between the studio and here, so I cannot see anything, and I am doing this show on my phone, which is technologically amazing, but also from a show standpoint, really inconvenient. Anyway, Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show, vent about tonight's loss to the Blazers, join a community over 12,000 subscribers strong, Andy, really pushing that subscriber count up. Appreciate everybody's support. The last couple weeks on the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel has just been spectacular, and that is all thanks to all of you. Andy, is there anybody who is bringing us today's show? Again, I can't see anything.
Yeah, actually, the episode's brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started.
All right, so Andy, if the Lakers were six games over 500 rather than six games under 500, you could look at one of this game on Monday and just be like, turn the page. It's a Moda Center. It's a tough place to play. Damian Lillard always gets fired up. I'm sure he was really hoping the Lakers wouldn't have traded Pat Bev before this one, get his revenge game in. But nonetheless, they are now six games under 500, so this becomes problematic. Darvin, it was interesting. This game was lost for the Lakers at the three-point line. The Blazers made 17 three-pointers in the first half. The Lakers took 17. They made three. So the Lakers were minus 14 in three-pointers in the first half. It was a damn miracle they were only down 19, Andy.
Yeah, the Lakers did not hit a three until about a minute 46 left in the first quarter. Lonnie Walker hit one. They did not hit their second three until under 2 minutes left in the half. D'Angelo Russell hit one. Then Austin Reeves hit one pretty close before the half ended. The irony is the Lakers actually shot very well in the second half from three, but when you've created that type of gap for yourself, like Malik Beasley hit six threes in the second half. I believe the Lakers shot 47-48% from three in the second half, but Portland only needed to shoot 33%, which they did in the second half, just to basically keep pace. Like the Lakers would have needed to hold Portland to like 5 points in the third quarter. If they,
you're not wrong.
I'm being serious. No. Like they really would have needed to in order to make up that type of gap. Like a 42 point discrepancy in three quarters in the first half, that is really difficult to overcome. Like you said, it is actually pretty astonishing that the Lakers were in it as much as they were in the first half. And to be clear, they were not in it at all.
No. Again, you give up 17 three-pointers, you better make more than three on your own. And it was funny. I mean, Darvin, after the game, he was asked about the shot quality and like what was going wrong. Were you leaving? And some of this was Damian Lillard, like, okay, I'll hit from 26. Okay, I'll hit from 28. Okay, I'll hit from 30. Okay, here's a shot from, you know, Bend. I'll just take it from there. Ooh, another one from Eugene. He said, you know, and take it for what you will, that they looked at the analytics at halftime. They looked at the data and, you know, the shot tracking data and all that said to the Lakers, if that was like defensively how they played in terms of shot quality for the opponent, would have been first in the league. So, you know, I think that might have been debatable on some of those shots, but, you know, Damian Lillard was hitting shots that were not every one of those was just a wide open Damian Lillard three. I mean, pulling up from 35 feet, it's like, okay. But you had Matisse Thybul hitting shots. I mean, some degree, like, this was part of the game plan to not let Simons and Lillard annihilate you and make Trendon Watford do it, except Trendon Watford did it. So you combine, okay, that was an open three with, okay, that's shot making. And then you're not making any on your own. It was not just the defense against the Blazers. It was the fact the Lakers could not hit a three pointer. And now you're down and you're not making that comeback twice. You know, you can't do it twice in Portland.
As far as the shot quality goes, I mean, I don't have access to the analytics that the Lakers were using at halftime. I will say this, when I was watching the game, I thought some of the looks, even if they maybe were contested, I thought Lillard in particular, but you could also include Simons here as well, as far as like the guys that you worry about. I thought that they had too easy of a time getting to their looks, even if the looks were technically contested. Like I tweeted out after this game at Cam Brothers, I don't know if Damian Lillard needed a post-game shower. Like, I have never seen a more effortless 40-point game. Like, he barely looked like he was breathing beyond like a mall walking pace.
It was so good, Andy. He didn't need to do anything in the second half. The Lakers, didn't do anything in the second half. He didn't need to.
Worldwide Wob, a lot of people know him. He's a great basketball follow. He, taking Darvin's comments that you just laid out, he actually put together a clip of all of Portland's threes in the first half for, as he said, an eye test review. People can check it out. I retweeted it at Cam Brothers. You know, I think some of the shots were contested, but Simons, especially Dame, just had way too easy of a time getting to the spots that they wanted to. I also think, too, that given the way Portland, like given the way Lillard and was hitting these type of shots, I would have switched up the idea of letting those other guys take the threes, because the last thing you need to feel psychologically is like everybody's hitting them. Like, at some point, I think, like, you know what? You need to start challenging these things, because it's going to start becoming a mental thing. The idea of okay, we're giving Matisse Thybul these shots and he's making them. That's what we want. I don't know if they maybe needed to adjust it a little bit more.
Well, they did a better job in the second half. And Portland started missing shots in the second half. And I don't mean to say I don't say this to say the Lakers were playing great defense and just got screwed. But, you know, my point is, it was a night where Portland took advantage of the open threes. Ironically, some of the most open shots they had in that first half from 3-point range were a couple of the early ones, which really were wide open and they missed. The Lakers got off to a 14-5 start. Like, that's what made the first quarter so amazing. It was 14-5 Lakers, and the Blazers finished the first quarter on a 29-5 run. 29-5. That is not easy to do. And so it was my point there was, the Blazers took advantage of the open threes, and they also hit the contested ones.
Yeah.
And the Lakers reverted to their worst form of the year. You know, like we always make the joke that the minute a competent 3-point shooter dons a Laker jersey, they turn into us. Like, that's what the Lakers were in this first half. Six games over 500. Hey, man, the Blazers, it's Damian Lillard. He scored 30 in the first half. It's going to happen sometimes. But now they're six games under 500, Andy. I want to look at the peak of the standings a little bit when we, next, because the hole is getting deeper. And even with LeBron presumably coming back on Wednesday, they've got some real work to do just to get into the play-in. So let's talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000, a grand. That's Bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. And then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores. Or you can get a little saucy with exclusive bets like the 2x3, 2 3-pointers scored in the first 3 minutes. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
All right. So, and again, I'm doing all this from memory because I can't see anything and I'm just working on my phone here. But we looked at this a lot in the postgame show tonight, Andy. And, you know, this was a costly, costly loss for the Lakers. Not only, obviously, do you lose the game to Portland and drop a game further behind behind them in the standings, you also are in a situation where Utah won on Monday, so you lose a game to them. Minnesota won on Monday, you lose a game to them. And you know, it is now, I believe, 2.5 to get to the 10. You know, the bare minimum, he's got to get to the 10. So it's 2.5 games to get to the 10, and you've got two teams to jump over to do it. You still got to catch Oklahoma City. You still got to catch Portland. And, you know, if they had designs on trying to get up to the, they were talking big last week about getting up even to the 6 and, you know, making a big run there. You know, they're now 4 games, I believe it is, clear of the 7 and the 8. So just to get to the, even the more preferable spots for the play-in is going to mean having to put a pretty big rally cap on here. Like the math with 24, I believe, games left is becoming problematic.
This is, you know, as we've said many times, this is why you don't want to begin a season 2-10, because it is so difficult from the outset. You were just spending your entire time digging yourself out of a hole and having to put so much energy mentally, physically, psychologically into trying to get yourself at even, which the Lakers have not been this entire season. The closest they've been to 500 was 0-0 game one. Like the first opening tip is the closest they've been to 500 this entire year, when again, they began the season all zeros. It's a daunting thing. And you can tell hearing these guys talk after the post game that I think they are still genuinely up for the fight. I don't feel like they're just saying the right things right now, regardless of how much they believe them or not. I think they actually are up for trying to make this happen, at least for now. But the confidence they have, I think, is very much rooted in a holy bleep, this is going to be really difficult reality. I don't think any of them underestimate or have a rosier vision of what the hell is in front of them. I don't.
Yeah. And I, a lot of people have said to us, you know, at Cam Brothers on Twitter, like, hey guys, and they're correct. Since the 2-10 start, now they're only 2 games over 500 since the 2-10 start. But let's say they started 5-5 instead of 2-10. You're 2 games over 500. Like, that's their record. Is that good? No. Not really. It's not where anybody would want the Lakers to be. It's not where they would. But 2 games over 500, I believe, would make them the 7 seed right now, or, you know, or right behind for the 6. That's how mediocre the middle of the Western Conference has been. It's not that it's good, but compared to where they are, it is. And in terms of trying to say to yourself, okay, let's get into the top 6, like with this new roster and all this other stuff, an improved, theoretically improved team, it feels much more feasible than trying to make up 4 games and leap over 4 teams or 5 teams to do it.
And even though the team is, I think, genuinely better now, they are still in a place where everybody's figuring each other out. And this is where you really miss LeBron. Because nobody, I mean, beyond LeBron's talent, like, you know, the reasons that you miss LeBron are very self-evident and could be summarized in just he's LeBron. But right. One of the reasons, though, that you miss LeBron a lot specifically for the situation they're in right now, is nobody is better, forget on this team, maybe in the entire league, at just organizing guys and just figuring out basketball problems on the fly quickly. Like, he can figure out when these guys are open before they can figure out when they're open. He can figure out how to get them shots that nobody else on this team is even going to recognize, much less put them in that position. Like, they just, he is, even in season 20, even in a relative state of decline, like compared to prime LeBron, he's still a really damn good problem solver, and they have problems that need to be solved.
Yeah. Anthony Davis, I thought, was fine on Monday. I thought actually his energy level in the first half, he only played 31 minutes. They waved the white flag early in this one, and Portland was throwing all kinds of bodies at him. And, you know, they started off in a zone. They were playing all kinds of weird gimmicky defenses because they really were just trying to come up with ways to defend themselves against Davis with no Jusuf Nurkić, no Jeremy Grant available. You know, Drew Eubanks basically is your primary defender on AD is not going to get it done necessarily. So they were trying all kinds of stuff. And I thought Davis's energy, I think he had 8 and 6 in the first half, which isn't overwhelming, but that might've been the first quarter, I should say. He got off to a good start. He was playing with the kind of energy that you would want, but this was a night where we talked about it.
In the first half, just to clarify, he had 13 and 13.
13 and 13. It was 8 and 6 in the first quarter. It was yes. What I wrote down. And so again, I'm kind of going off of memory.
That's fine.
And he finished with 19 and 20. So he was fun. Anthony Davis wasn't the problem here. It was that, you know, Dennis Schroeder, who had a great game on Saturday, had a lousy game on Monday. And Malik Beasley finished with 6 3-pointers, which is actually good to see because he needed to see the ball go through the hoop. I mean, he was in that white flag lineup, which perhaps he was insulted by. I don't know, but it was good to get him some shots that went in because he was on a long bender of missed threes. It was a reminder that, you know, the new team is better, but it's not going to fix everything that is there for them. It gives them a little bit of more margin for error game to game, but the team's success is still going to be predicated on whether or not LeBron and AD are playing at that ultra high level. And LeBron wasn't even playing. So, I mean, that wasn't an option.
Yeah. And we don't know whether or not he's going to be available Wednesday against New Orleans.
Darvin said that they presume he will be, but until he's on the floor, you don't know.
Right. You don't know. And as much as I'm sure LeBron, A, wants to be out there because this team needs a win, and B, I think, wants to be out there so he can participate in the All-Star game because I think LeBron wants to be there. And, you know, if nothing else, I'm sure he would like to be hear himself introduced at this All-Star game as the NBA's new all-time leading scorer. And I don't blame him at all. I'm not saying that as an ego trip. I mean, frankly, if it were me, I would want my ego tripped like that.
Yeah. And by the way, for anybody who's worried, the workout, if you saw the workout videos from like what he was doing at shoot around today and stuff like that, he was doing more work and working harder in that than he will at the All-Star game. So I'm not really worried about, and he's going to be there anyway. It's not like LeBron is literally skipping All-Star weekend. So
nobody turns down a weekend in Salt Lake.
Oh God, no. Well, your man's got obligations, so even if he's not playing, he'll still be there.
Salt Lake Knife Light if undefeated.
That said, I do hope he doesn't play much. You go out there, run around a little bit. Didn't Kobe have a year like that where he went out and played like 3.5 minutes in the first half and that was it?
Yes. Yes.
Give me one of those. Like, give me one of those. I'll take that.
Yeah, they need LeBron in there to, if they're going to fast track this process, on both sides of the ball to some degree, because even though LeBron picks his spots defensively, he absolutely knows what everybody's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And his communication would be helpful right now. Like, I'm not going to pretend that LeBron is playing, you know, playoff level defense on a regular basis right now, but his presence out there and, you know, the basketball IQ and the ability to tell guys the spots they're supposed to be in and provide some degree of cover would be really helpful. But offensively, it's going to be really difficult to fast track this thing without him out there. I mean, he's the key to all of that.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about what other things that we saw from the new guys. It was a really fun night on Wednesday or Sunday. It was not such a fun night on Monday. Lamar, before the game started on Spectrum Sportsnet, Rob Pelinka was talking about Jared Vanderbilt actually made a Lamar Odom comparison, which felt a little aggressive to me. we'll get into a few more things like that when we come back next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, success in 2023 all depends on your team members, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by using targeting tools to match open roles with the people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help achieve your goals. LinkedIn goes beyond resume data, using insights from your job post, your company, and their 875 million member profiles to land the most qualified candidates. And LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants all on one platform. It's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. And it is the key to getting your 2023 fiscal success off to the right start. It's a critical time right now. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmba. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmba to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So it was funny before the game, Rob Pelinka, they had an interview that he taped on Spectrum Sportsnet as part of the pregame show. Of course, they're the folks who carry the games. And he said a lot of stuff that I thought was, very interesting, very much reflective of comments he made before Saturday's game to the broader media and talking about the flexibility that they built. And look, I think he may have overstated the leap in improving that they did, but in terms of the qualities of player. But when you break it all down,
Pelinka and Belich, it's not his nature at all.
Not at all. He talked about the small sacrifice they made to bring in four rotation level players in the NBA at the cost of a protected first round pick, and I think I forget exactly what the math is on second rounders or whatever. For guys
at one point, which is just
all of it was true. The only part where he really got off the rails, it was a bit of a manna from heaven moment, was when he was talking about Jared Vanderbilt, and kind of looking, I think, at Saturday's game where, Vanderbilt's, doing the spin move in the lane and had four assists, I think, in that one, moving the ball well. And, and Rob made a Lamar Odom comparison, and that's when I had to call timeout on that segment. It was a little mana from heaven-y, which is a place that Rob hasn't gone in a while. It was, I think, a result of him feeling pretty saucy about a good trade deadline for the Lakers. But we saw on Monday, there are some limitations to Jared Vanderbilt's game. Certainly enough limitations that you really shouldn't go comparing him to Lamar Odom, other than both of them are left-handed and neither one of them is a particularly good three-point shooter.
I mean, maybe Jared Vanderbilt eats way more candy than I knew about. Maybe Jared Vanderbilt likes to refer to himself as handsome the way Lamar Odom always would.
I love that. That was one of my favorite Lamar go-tos.
Yeah. He was never afraid to let you know that he was a handsome man.
You know what else he would call himself a handsome man, and then he also referred to himself consistently as a sportsman, which I loved that.
He would.
I realized the guy's had a mountain of difficulties, certainly toward the end of his career and since he retired. But it's not hard to understand the source of a lot of that angst. And man alive, he's just one of the best dudes you ever would come across doing the kind of work that we do.
He's probably the most popular teammate I've ever been around in any locker room.
I don't think it's even close. I bring this up not to disparage Jared Vanderbilt, because there's no shame in not being as like Lamar Odom. If he had a little bit more of a motor, a little bit more of that sort of star thing in him, would have been kind of like the unicorn. This is what he was drafted. It's like a unicorn before everybody called everybody a unicorn. Like he had,
no, he was just, he was called the next Magic Johnson.
Right. And, you know, obviously that didn't happen, but I mentioned this not to disparage Vanderbilt because it's not a crime to not be as good as Lamar Odom was and not have the skill of Lamar Odom. But as a reminder, like, okay, it is important that people understand, people being mostly the Lakers, I think people watch them get it, that Russell, Beasley, Vanderbilt, Bamba, these are all good additions to the team that straighten out the rotation, bring back a little bit of rim protection in Bamba. You add volume three-point shooting with Russell and Beasley. You add a point-of-attack defender who can cut and has some skills and, you know, young player in Vanderbilt. You've set up the roster in a nice way going forward where you can recreate a payroll that is workable in terms of making trades and all these other things. And you've set yourself up for the opportunity to be better. This is not yet a contending basketball team. And so there's a long way for them to go. And Beasley is a solid, you know, guy has mostly been a really, you know, pretty good bench player. And these guys are, that's important. D'Angelo Russell has been an all-star, but he is not a perennial all-star. You know, they've got some work to do here, and it still comes down to Anthony Davis and LeBron James fundamentally. And AD's got to be better and LeBron's got to be healthy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, actually, I was looking over some of, AD's individual field goal percentages based on who is setting him up, for assists, and a little quirk that I noticed that I'm not going to lie, has me a little bit concerned. It's not as pronounced this year as it was last year. It's about a 3% difference when it comes to overall field goal percentage, but AD actually has a better field goal percentage and has been assisted more the last 2 years from Russ than LeBron. I'm not saying this by the way to like try to make a case that the Lakers made a mistake trading Russ at the deadline. The mistake was actually trading for him.
Yes.
The reason I bring this up, A, is it's just something I'm going to be watching for, because you and I actually made a point a lot during all of the ups and downs that came with Russ. And, you know, there were frankly more downs than ups.
There were a couple.
He really would go out of his way to set up AD. And AD actually played pretty well with Russ, just in a vacuum, the two of them, you know, removing all of the other stuff that matters just as much, if not more.
Right.
But the reason it even occurred to me to look this stuff up and just be looking up different numbers and whatever is because it is so important for AD to be the absolute best version of himself over these last games, and every little thing matters. So it just prompted me to even just look that stuff up again. His numbers this season from LeBron, like the overall field goal percentage, we're talking about a 3% difference, but again, right now everything matters. So it just jumped out at me.
It is one of the things that everybody's going to just be looking at. This is a time when everything is important and everything is a big deal. And you look. I mean, we don't have to do it really. I'm not asking you to do it like literally, but like people can go look up the splits of what Anthony Davis has done. You know, what he shot in January, what he shot in December, and what he's shooting now since he returned. And it's not good enough. And even with some of the, you know, there are caveats and there are reasons and all, it's not good enough. And, you know, the Lakers, you know, they got to get LeBron on the floor. They got to get more out of AD and they got to start winning because they are running out of time. And if this gap gets any bigger, catching these teams, even for the 10, is going to become a very tall order, because Utah, even having traded three players that were in there, still a good team. And, you know, they're playing pretty well. Portland's not going to roll over. They still got Damian Lillard. They still got Anthony Simons and, you know, and Grant. And the Pelicans, they may not get Zion back, but they still got some talented players. Like, the Lakers are chasing teams that aren't going to fold. None of those teams are throwing it in.
OKC's definitely not going to throw it in.
Nope. And then Shea is as we saw the other night, is real good. So, all right, Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show and communicate with us, communicate with a bunch of other really awesome Lakers fans. We really appreciate all the support that channel is getting. And we will see everybody on Tuesday.